In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today is a very special day for the Church, and especially for the Coptic Church, because today is the 24th of the Coptic month, Bashans, June 1st. And on that day, the Lord entered Egypt. And as you heard the scripture, it talks about when the Lord went to Egypt and he came back. The scripture says he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Which prophet is it? It was written in the book of Hosea, chapter 11, in verse 1, that says exactly the same word, "Out of Egypt I called my son." But the question is, what does it mean to us when the Lord enters Egypt, or what Egypt would be for any one of us right here, for example, in America or anywhere else? Let me read something for you from the book of Isaiah in chapter 19, verses 19 to 25. It says, "In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt." You know from the history that exactly right in the middle of Egypt, we have the monastery of Deir al-Muharra, which is called St. Mary al-Muharra, meaning the burning one, in Asyut. That's exactly in the middle of Egypt. So this prophecy came to be fulfilled, of course, from the spiritual point of view and the physical and literal point of view. "In that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. And it will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt." I'm also sure you know that everywhere the Holy Family visited Egypt, there is a church or a monastery. The Holy Family did not go like for a cruise or vacation. Everywhere it went, there was something happening. The idols were coming down. And people used to check what's new in this area now, what happened. They find out there's a new family came in town. So they go after this new family, ask them to leave. And even sometimes did not help to give them food or drink. That became a blessing for us when the Holy Family start to move from one area to another, not because they want to, because they were forced to. Even that trouble, the tribulations became blessings for Egypt. And then it continues and says, "It will be for a sign and for a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt, for they will cry to the Lord because of the oppressors, and he will send them a savior and a mighty one, and he will deliver them. Then the Lord will be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day, and will make sacrifice and offerings. Yes, they will make a vow to the Lord and perform it." So what would be the result of all of this for the Lord to come and visit? Please listen to this very, very important verse that make all of us vowed. God continues and says, "Blessed is Egypt, my people." My people. So what happens when the Lord comes to you, to your land, to your heart? You receive one important thing, blessings. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, because blessings is very important. We cannot live without blessings. But blessing could mean many different things. For example, it could mean multiplication, creation. We read in the book of Genesis in chapter 1, verse 28, when the Lord said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." So being multiplied, having children, that's a blessing, some sort of a blessing. When the Lord blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish to feed the multitude of the 5,000, not counting women or children, and as we talked about this before, that could be like maybe 15,000, maybe 20,000, counting if every man is married and having at least one child, you are talking about a minimum of 15. Of course, you know, back in the days, they used to marry young and used to have a big number of children. There was no birth control, there is no family planning, so it was a big number. So if somebody says maybe some men were not married, if you count how many children, you are talking at least, at the very least, a minimum of 15,000. So when God multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fish, that's a blessing. It says He blessed. So when He blessed, He can increase in the number. God blessed the land for Moses on the 6th year in order to bring more fruits. You read about this in the book of Leviticus in chapter 25. So if God blesses your work and your life, He could also bless your land. Bless your land. That blessing can bring more fruit. Now think about this for a minute. Instead of looking at the land, this could be your heart. Your heart, God will bless to bring forth fruits. What are the fruits? Could be the love to everybody. Could be the perseverance. Could be the meekness, humbleness. All of these things are blessings from God. For you not to know and take things for granted, that is not a blessing. But if you take a moment and think about all what God has given you, you know it is a giving from God. Remember, blessings are not taking, they are giving. Anything, even service, even priesthood, no one can take this office or the blessing by himself, but those who are called. That means God give you, God bless you, give you things. You must look at these not as things that you take for granted. These are givings, these are gifts, these are blessings. In the first book of Kings, in chapter 17, in verse 14, it talks about how God blessed the bin of flour and the jar of oil in the widow's house when she hosted one of God's people, Elijah the prophet. God blessed the oil, did not ever go empty, or flour, because she did a good work, a good service to the Lord. Elijah asked for it, and when she listened and obeyed, she got the blessings. Another sort of blessing could be authority. Authority, sovereignty. For example, God spoke to Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis in chapter 1:28, and He said, subdue the land and have dominion over it, have authority over it. If you remember, that exact same blessings happened to Noah after the flood. When they came out of the ark, God said to Noah and his children, subdue the land and have dominion over it. The exact same wording. So God can give you the blessing to have this power. You will never ever have fear when you have that authority from God, because you have God in your side, not anyone. No one can give you this authority. Blessing also could mean sanctification. When we say the Lord blessed the 7th day, what does it mean that God blessed the 7th day? It means that the Lord sanctified that day and made it a holy day. Made it a holy day. Same is true through the blessing of the firstborn male. You read about it in Deuteronomy chapter 15 in verse 19, where it says, sanctify for me the firstborn male. And you know, after that, God was also taking all the tribe of Levites to be sanctified, to be holy, meaning to be the men and women of God, to be serving God. It is a blessing that you will be serving the Lord. In the book of Leviticus in chapter 23, God even blessed the feast. Like today is a feast day, it is a blessed day where we all celebrate and we're all supposed to be joyful and happy because God is with us. He is giving us a reason for joy, and that reason is not any reason, not materialistic reason. It is a holy reason where we celebrate the entrance of the Lord into the land of Egypt. And when we speak about Egyptians, you know, the word Egypt comes from the Latin word Egyptus, and the Latin word Egyptus was taken from the original word Ha-Kaptah. Ha-Kaptah means the house of the god Ptah. When the people came to Egypt, found it very difficult to mention. And when the Arab entered Egypt in the year 641 AD, they found it very difficult even to read or mention. So they made it short, Kipt, or Kapt, which is the common word right now. So when God lists the Copts, so it doesn't mean that you are only in Egypt. No matter where you go, anywhere you go as Egyptian, carrying the blessings forever. Carrying the blessings forever, no matter where you go. So no one can say we are here in America, we did not receive the blessings from Egypt. Your parents did. They brought it to you and will continue in your generation forever. As Adam and Eve, when they sinned, one time, when they sinned, their sin continued in us all the way to the end of this world. That's where we need baptism and the chrism of my wound. Same, when you receive the blessings will stay in you and your seeds forever. Also, the blessing could mean success. When God blessed Joseph, he blessed him and made him very successful. We read about him in the book of Genesis and see how much God made him successful in anything that his hands can reach. Wherever you do, God will bless because you are a man or the woman of God. Also in the book of Psalm and the first Psalm, it says, he shall be like a planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruits in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The man and woman of God, in anything they do, they will be like the tree planted by the river. Be fruitful and multiply. You will always prosper because you have God with you. God will never stop blessing you. And to give you a very wonderful way to look at the blessings, I wish you could do it today when you go home. If you please read Deuteronomy chapter 28. You have in Deuteronomy a chapter that talks about blessing, another chapter that talks about cursing. So let me read just a few parts from chapter 28 that talks about blessing to see how much God can bless the people of God. He said, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And you know, seven would be like a perfect number, could be hundreds of ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. See these great blessings? The Lord will command it, meaning no one can stand against it. It is by force, authority from God. God is commanding the blessing. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. Whatever you reach, whatever you do, even when you raise your hand to bless, that would be a way that God would bless. What could be the types of blessing? Could be the blessing of food. When you bless the food before you eat, don't rush to eat the food. Remember, the food that you take, whether meat or fruits, they are dead, really dead. Think about the physical meaning. When you cut grape from the tree itself, you killed it. When you slaughter an animal, you killed it. So it is dead. You are giving life when it comes to you. When you eat it, it gives you life through your blessings. Please don't rush to eat the food before you pray. Give the blessing that God has given you, as you heard it now in the book of Deuteronomy, that God will bless all things that you do. Bless marriage. You remember we have three prayers for blessing the marriage. And we pray not only for the uniting of the husband and wife, but also for the blessing of their lives to come. And the priests pray that God will give them all the good things in their life and the offspring, and exactly what you heard in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Also, we bless the newborn. We have a special prayer for the newborn. We call it the prayer of Bath, Salat al-Tisht in Arabic. We bless because he can't come to church at the time, 40 days for a boy or 80 days for a girl. So the church goes to him and bless him. There is a for the new house or apartment or any residence. In Arabic, we say Salat Tabriq al-Manazil. And there is also the prayer for the closing. Before you serve as a deacon, your abuna must bless your garments that you will use. So when you stand up in prayer, you give attention to the prayer and you have the blessings of God, not let your mind or your eyes to go astray anywhere away from God. You focus completely on the prayer, contemplating and reflecting on each word and what does it mean to you. The church did not make the prayer just like somebody was bored and he was writing a prayer. If you really had the book of the liturgy that was produced many years ago in Bani Suwayf in Egypt, they have like the liturgy, the book is huge, that small part, and underneath it has all the references from the Bible. Word by word, the liturgy here is from the Bible. And it has the whole story of the coming of the Lord Jesus, his crucifixion, his death on the cross, and his resurrection and salvation for all of us. But the last point you may ask, how would we receive the blessing? There are many different ways. Number one, of course, through your prayers. The prayer of your priest, the prayer of the church, the prayer of you as a man at home, as a priest of your house, the prayer of the mother at home, as the church, representing the church, to bless the food, to bless the children. So there is a prayer for the blessing. We also receive the blessing of the cross. When you make the sign of the cross, you receive the blessing of the cross. And when you kiss the cross or the hands of the priest, you are receiving the blessings, because you remember the death of the Lord on the cross, and you remember and you believe when you kiss the hand of the priest that he really did touch the body and the blood of the Lord. It is not a regular hand, unless you believe that you are receiving something else during communion. If you believe 100% that you are eating and drinking the body and the blood of the Lord, that's what you should do when you kiss the hands of the priest. You know for sure that he did touch the body of the Lord and no one else can. That's how we kiss their hands. You can also receive the blessing by the laying on of hands. When you see like abuna or the bishop or pope, they put their hands on the head of someone, they can bless them. You can also receive the blessings through like short expressions. For example, you say, may the Lord bless you in your life. May the Lord sustain and help you. May the Lord protect and save you. May the Lord be with you and keep you away from any danger. May the Lord make you not afraid. May the Lord fill your heart with peace. May the Lord delight your heart. May the Lord give you power. May the Lord give you healing. May the Lord be with you and not forsake you. May the Lord bless your family, your children. May the Lord accept your givings. When you give, do not even think for a moment, I give God. No, I give God from His hand, as was written in the book of Chronicles. From your hands we give you. So we pray that God accept what we give. It's not like I am bestowing on God, God forbid. No, He gives you and you give God back. Blessing could also be received from the sprinkling of water that you receive at the end of the liturgy, that you receive when Abuna prays at home and bless the water and blows into the water by his breath, which is sanctified by the Holy Spirit, and he crosses the water by the cross. And when Abuna starts to sprinkle the water, you do receive this blessing. You receive the blessing from the water of La'an. Also, you receive it through the holy oil. There is the oil, the unction of the sick. There is the holy oil that Abuna always carry with him and can anoint anyone who is tired or sick. There is also the blessing that you receive from just Abuna can breathe into your head. If there is something really serious like illness or what have you, can Abuna pray and lay his hand and he can breathe into your head and your face and give you the blessing. So there are so many different ways that we receive the blessing. We are so blessed to be Coptic people. Remember again, the word Egypt is Coptic. So for us to be Copts, no matter what we are, it doesn't mean now to be like only coming from Egypt or to be coming from America or anywhere else. Being a Copt, you receive the blessing through the Coptic church. Because this is how the whole land of Egypt and the clergy of Egypt and everyone who followed that Coptic church, the blessings will continue to the last day of our life. May God bless your life and make you fruitful and multiply in this church now and forever and ever. Amen.